Thank you, Frank, for sharing God's word with us this morning. In the Old Testament, God is fire and wind. God is working, moving, creating, and invading our everyday. In the wilderness, God lives inside the tabernacle and guides the Israelites. According to Acts, God remains fire and wind, descending on this community of disciples sitting in the upper room. See, God still dwells on earth, this time filling the disciples themselves with God's Spirit. God is working, moving, creating, and invading our daily lives through the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is God revealed, the main character revolutionizing life. Its author, typically attributed to the same writer as the book of Luke, teaches us how to discern God's movement, how to witness God's grace working in our lives. I find that many people recognize and identify with God and Jesus, but find it difficult to explain the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a defining character in the Christian faith, one of the Trinity, God, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the fiery, living force of God's presence, which nourishes, teaches, guides, and connects with Jesus and God. The Spirit works, moves, creates, and invades our everyday. It is God, the Holy Spirit. Last week, we listened to Peter preach the first sermon. And as a result, 3,000 people were baptized. This movement is God, as Holy Spirit touching and healing hearts among the people. God moved, and people responded through baptism. The movement is not one way. It's a relational dynamic in which God moves and we respond, in which we move and God responds. Our text this morning illustrates this dance. How is God moving? How are people responding? How are people working? And then how does God respond? So in this grace-filled experience of the Holy Spirit, we discover a people drawn together to live communally. The fledgling Christian community is referred to as people of the way. They need one another to reflect on their experience, to discover life in relation to their commitment to Jesus and the way. They need one another for support as their lives are transformed when new beliefs are integrated into traditional Jewish practices and a new way. This time, this short passage offers a window into a people who love Jesus day by day at the temple and in their homes. Their response to God's movement and message of eternal life through Jesus Christ is shown in the development of four habits. First, they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. And this becomes really critical for those who were not direct witnesses to Jesus. The community is growing rapidly. I can just imagine the theological conversations that emerge as they seek to find meaning in their direct experience of what happened when Jesus was present and now what's happening. And the practicality of integrating this new belief system, this new way of living, into their everyday life. It must have been interesting conversations, let's put it that way. Fellowship is a crucial part of the community. People forming relationships, nurturing the habits of hospitality and inclusion. So Jesus emphasizes crossing boundaries otherwise forbidden. He touched those who were unclean, right? He ate with sinners. That was the nature of his work. So as Paul later expresses, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. For religion, whose identity was tied to their ancestral lineage, the inclusion of all nations becomes a major shift in how they develop relationships. So fellowship became really crucial to this shift and the way that they live. The third habit was their devotion to breaking bread. So the breaking of the bread was not just about meal eating, although that was a part of it. It was about this community and their faith, nourished by the sacrament of Holy Communion. They were devoted to Jesus' command, "Do this in remembrance of me," whenever they gathered, and their daily acts of sharing a meal. They remembered Jesus. They were nourished and fed by the sacrament in community. And the fourth habit was prayer. This was central to their faith journey because prayer offers the opportunity for direct communion with God. Here the people were shaping and learning prayers, possibly the Lord's Prayer, or reciting and learning the Psalms. This is a community of people also at work, also moving and creating Jesus into their lives. Some of the effects are described. It says there is awe over the wonders and signs done by the apostles. Their numbers grow daily. There is sacrificial sharing. It is God, the Holy Spirit, creating and responding. It is God's people responding and moving. We are witness to it. Like Peter said in his first sermon, even if we did not live it personally, we are hearing it. So we testify to it, the good news of Jesus Christ. So the early church offers us a glimpse into the enormous shifts in faith and practice that happened just following Jesus' death. God is a force, continuously moving and creating. God calls us into a way that is of movement and thus transformation. See, as Christians filled with the Spirit, we are not to be motionless. Instead, we are forever transforming in perfect love of God through Christ. The Holy Spirit is the spark. The history of the United Methodist Church offers powerful insight into how a movement revolutionizes, how the Spirit is made visible and transformative. There are two examples in our history that I would like to highlight this morning. The Methodist movement began with a man, Wesley, an Anglican priest in the 1700s. After a disappointing mission experience in the American colonies, assurance of God's grace and liberation, like the Holy Spirit filling him, and he feels this great warmth of heart. And Wesley becomes passionate about reforming the church. He specifically focuses on two kinds of holiness, personal and social. He ignites a movement, launching it from the Holy Club at Oxford. Wesley insists in gathering people of faith in small communities. They all had different names, classes, societies, and bands that support people in different points in their faith development. In addition, his groups focus on various outreach programs. He's doing mission work. He's doing social justice work. Here's what I want you to understand. Members were still expected to attend Mass on Sunday at the Church of England. Methodism, as it was to become called, actually, simply augmented their current practices. Like Jesus never envisioned a religion separate from Judaism, Wesley did not intend to create a new denomination, and he himself never left the Church of England. The movement was about transformation, growing into a more perfect life and social holiness. The spirit, the flame, fueled its growth. A second example in the history of our church occurs in the 19th century. In the early days of the United States, there was this great movement occurring as explorers settled to expand this nation from the east to the west coast. The movement is built into this moment in our history. With the ties to the Church of England now severed when we gain independence, Methodism forms itself around pastors called circuit riders. A circuit rider is literally an evangelist riding throughout large territories to spread the good news all over the growing United States. Here's what happens. Picture it. As the nation is spreading from the east to the west coast, right? There are tent meetings, house gatherings, and even a sermon under an apple tree, like here in an orchard in Moton, where people's hearts are touched. And even though the pastor moves, the people form and maintain faith communities. Ordinary people are leading from week to week. Ordinary people, regardless of race, gender, and class, are journeying with one another toward personal and social holiness. The African American population was one of the biggest growing populations of the Methodist Church at the time. At the end of the 1800s, the Methodist movement displays incredible outreach to people who are poor and marginalized all over the world. Amazing missionary outreach happens. Working towards social justice as abolitionists and advocates in the women's rights movement. Methodism becomes one of the largest denominations in the United States. Its growth, a movement within a movement that transforms people in the midst of their daily living. Just the method is procured for the early Christians, people of the way. Wesley intentionally returned to a devotion of the four habits described from the early church. In addition to Sunday Mass, Methodists gathered in small groups for study, prayer, fellowship, and most certainly, communion. Wesley set about to integrate Christian theology into practical daily living. The Spirit moves, the people respond. Movement is the way. Last week, I asked you to ponder this question. How is Jesus more than just a name to you now, in this moment, at this time in our lives? I wonder what you discovered as you considered the question. In the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic, we are already in the midst of a social movement. Just like the early Methodists, a movement within a movement. We are ordinary people called to witness to God in the midst of our rapidly changing lives. The Spirit is working, moving, creating, and invading our daily lives. How are you responding to this movement? How are you igniting your flame for the love and witness of Jesus? This is a moment in which we need to intentionally respond. The spiritual practices that launched the early church are a guide for us. Let's reflect on these four habits in light of today's context. The first one is devote yourself to the apostles' teachings. Today, there is a wide variety of online resources for scripture and devotionals. Had no written materials. It was all oral, right? To understand and be preached to. We ourselves, though, we have access to all these online resources. You can post a favorite verse or poem on your mirror each week and allow it to speak into your day. Join the Sunday school class after church. I know Richie's waiting. Or the Wednesday evening Connect class. We are gifted with generations of spiritual teachers, theologians, and personal testimonies, all of which are accessible to us. Spend time each day devoting yourself to these teachings. The second habit is to intentionally develop relationships. Fellowship. This means new relationships with different kinds of people. You should foster relationships with people of race, culture, age. Do your church groups consist of the same people? Do you invite new people into your life? Here's the thing. Even though we're at a distance, we can begin new small groups online. We can befriend or reconnect with our neighbors, many of which are people probably that you don't know very well. The goal is to intentionally develop relationships. Relationships that are new with people, unexpected people, different people that help stretch and grow us. The third habit is to break bread with others and do it always in remembrance of Jesus. Though we cannot host Holy Communion, we certainly can share the love of Christ. As we discovered in the early church, they sought to share their possessions communally. Breaking bread today in the name of Jesus may include acts of kindness. Think about donating food or supplies to the food bank. Shop for others. Call people, especially those that are in isolation. Offer to organizations that are supporting low-income families or assist families who are now experiencing unemployment. And finally, commit to prayer. Prayer is your connection to God. And I want you to understand that if we're all God, or God dwells in all of us, right? I shouldn't say God dwells in us. When we pray, we connect with everybody. Imagine that prayer is like a network, stretching yourself to connect and others. In doing so, your heart moves in unexpected ways of compassion, kindness, and acts of justice. It is God, the Holy Spirit. Even though we tend to resist it, the way is movement. As Methodists, we belong to the people of the way. Sometimes there are things like COVID-19 that force us to move and direct our energies in new ways. But always, always, movement is a choice. It's the intentional response and commitment, trusting that the Spirit is abiding and leading and responding in a dance with us. Theouzi says, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. I encourage you, take a step. Amen. We're going to continue our service with special music. Chuck Ebersole will